Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mindell, and Mr. Manuk, for the ninth time in 10 games, the Winnipeg Jets lose in regulation, dropping a 3-1 decision tonight to the juggernaut Vancouver Canucks. Did I say juggernaut?
You did.
Didn't really. I think I meant juggernaut in the most tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic manner possible. Because yet again, for allegedly a playoff team, nothing alleged about it. The Jets are going to the playoffs.
They do have an X next to their name.
Yeah, they have an X next to their name. No matter how many more games in a row they lose, they do nothing on the offensive side of things. They give up two goals in the first period to drop down 2-0 very early, like they did on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And now they're playing catch up for the rest of the night, and they're unsuccessful in their attempts to equalize the game. The Canucks get a third period goal, and the Jets lose by that 3-1 margin.
Yeah, it's a rinse and repeat sort of thing with this Winnipeg Jets team, unfortunately. You know, you break it against the Calgary team and you think to yourself, okay, maybe there's something there. And then Ottawa. No, but Ottawa's red hot. Well, maybe the Canucks. I think they came in, 1-7 in their last 8 games. They were definitely not a juggernaut, to use your term, by any stretch of the imagination, Drew. And yet it's just, you know, again, Thatcher Demko was very good in the game. We have to give him credit. A lot of the shots were on the outside. They weren't. It's interesting because a lot of the talk yesterday, specifically with Adam Lowry and Andrew Kopp, was that idea of going to the front of the net and getting some ugly goals. I mean, there's too many guys on the perimeter right now that aren't really doing. Again, pretty goals are great. You know, there was a play in the second period where the Jets had a 2-on-1. They hadn't had a shot in the period, and they overpassed it. I thought to myself, just get a shot on net, get someone in Demko's face, mm-hmm. because right now, I mean, he's too good a goaltender to beat him from 40 feet out with nobody in front. So
absolutely.
Again, like I said, I was watching this and now just to explain to people, because people might be thinking, why am I one moment I was at the arena and now I'm at home, because he's not on the show tonight. I came home for the third period to watch it from home and do this post game here at my maison, as opposed to at the downtown arena.
Yeah, Mr. Ginsburg not joining us this evening. He got his vaccine earlier today, so we granted him the celebratory night off. So he's, I think, out hugging strangers. I'm not 100% sure where
he is, but probably not doing that.
He's definitely not doing that. He's responsible enough to not do that. He'll be back. His wife is responsible enough to make sure he doesn't do it. In any event, Ezzy will be back with us tomorrow night for the post-game show. I don't know about you, Dave, but I feel unbelievably lucky that we get to watch these same two teams do battle again tomorrow night, because I just haven't quite had enough of the Winnipeg Jets as of late. Never mind their opponent, in this case, the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah, look, it's the same thing we've been saying for much of the last 10 games. Too easy. Too easy for the Jets. For their opponent of the Winnipeg Jets, to your point, everything from the outside, nothing to speak of from really dangerous areas. Thatcher Demko, he played very well. He's a good goalie. He's a very good goaltender.
Yep.
The Jets know that. They have to make it more difficult on him. They're unable to do so. I mean, I'm looking at the high danger chances right now. 10 for the Jets, 9 for the Canucks. You just can't fall back 2-0 to a Vancouver Canucks team that has nothing to play for. Then you give them life. Just simply by not showing up when the game started, you gave the Canucks life. You know, mathematically, their playoff hopes ended in the second intermission when the Canadians got that 1 point, and eventually Montreal lost in overtime to Edmonton. But you know, you just can't give your opponent light.
By the way, Drew, you should say that indicates that the Jets will not, and because the Jets lost in regulation, didn't get a point, they now are still unable to clinch the third spot. Maybe that's by design. Maybe they know how they've done against the Oilers, and they're like, you know what, Montreal, you take Connor McDavid.
A Jets point tomorrow, point, win, either or, will clinch them third place. We know Toronto's first. We know Edmonton second. You know, obviously Winnipeg. I mean, 2 games left. They should being in quotes, given everything we've seen over the last 10 games or so, should be the third place team. fourth place team, obviously, will be the other of Montreal or Winnipeg. If you're a Winnipeg Jets team, you're playing against the Vancouver Canucks team that has nothing to play for. Mathematically, definitely, now officially has nothing to play for. But don't tell me that they had anything to play for before the game started. And you want to reaffirm yourself as a playoff team. A real playoff challenge. You can't give up the first two goals in the first 7.5 minutes against the Vancouver Canucks team. You just can't. And it really should have been 3-0 if Blake Wheeler doesn't take that good penalty, right? Which would have been a backdoor tap in, I guess 2 minutes after the Canucks scored the second goal. You just come out flat. It's inexcusable. It's leadership. It's the coaching. It's everything. It's the same nonsense that we've been talking about time in and time out. And I don't know why anybody should feel as though that they're going to be able to just flick a switch come playoff time, and all of a sudden they're going to be back to being the team that they were when they were defeating the Toronto Maple Leafs, about a month ago or whenever, however long ago that was. You just can't flip a switch that easily. They can't score right now. What is it now? 18 goals in the last 10 games? Something like that. I mean, a number that is sub 2 goals per game, so it doesn't matter who the goaltender is. Again, just bereft of answers for the problems that continue to rear their ugly head night in and night out.
Well, Blake Wheeler was asked in the post-game availability what his analysis of how the team played, and his response was just kind of blah. It wasn't the best game we've played all year. It wasn't the worst game we've played all year. Okay. We just gave up some big chances, and it's tough to bounce back from those. Well, okay. I mean, I guess it's a fair statement. It's probably not completely incorrect. They did have their chances. But at the end of the day, Drew, I mean, again, this team, to your point, and it's one thing we've talked about pretty consistently. Now, I haven't done this. I haven't looked this up in a couple of years. But, one thing I was always curious about was, does a team, and again, this year really wouldn't matter anyways because it's so everything's so thrown off as to, what you would look like when you get to the conference finals because you're playing a team you haven't played before. But the truth is, how you're going into the final 10 games of the regular season impact your ability to win the Stanley Cup? And I think when I looked at this from, like, I think it was 2007 to 2017 or something like that, only two teams had kind of, I think it was the Kings, one of the Kings teams and one of the Blackhawks teams who had already had experience winning the cup. Sure. So it wasn't as if they were, bereft of that sort of attribute on their team. They were able to kind of channel that anyway. So even if they were limping, they were limping with experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we've seen from this Jets team is, I mean, you're 1-9 in your last 10 games and you beat a Calgary team that isn't very good. So again, I'm not going to diminish. In fact, all I'll do is hold up what Nikolaj Ehlers means to this team, because more and more you're seeing how much of an impact he has. Kyle Connor finally breaks his goalless streak. What I think that was at 8 games, he finally scores.
Yeah,
beautiful play by.
And he was dangerous all game.
Yeah, no, he was moving. I mean, that's kind of what we've come to expect from him. I mean, Mark Scheifele made a couple of nice defensive plays. Their numbers weren't so good in early on in the game, I don't think. I thought Matthew Perreault was buzzing as per usual. Pierre-Luc Dubois was getting some more chances. I mean, you're still missing a little bit from him. You're still wanting to see more, but he's starting to kind of move in the right direction, you think, with him. But again, there's a player, the player who I actually think could have a little bit of something to show, and you don't see enough of him, is Jansen Harkins. And I've said this before. I actually think Jansen Harkins is wasted on that fourth line. I think he's a guy who's, a real smart puck mover. He's a smart, intelligent player. He's not going to burn you defensively. And I think that if you gave him that opportunity in a more scoring role, he's going to facilitate. He's a very good facilitator. So I don't know. To me, a guy like Jansen Harkins would have been a guy to try and elevate, give him an opportunity. But
that again, line was pretty lousy tonight. Just looking at possession-wise, the fourth line for the Jets, 5-on-5, 25% Corsi for, two shots for, 6 shots against the Lewis Thompson and the Harkins line. Which isn't to say that Harkins, I thought, had some jump to his game, to your point.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Everybody else, I mean, look, it's about execution. It's about finishing, and they can't finish. I mean, you know, and they don't have any answers for why they're not finishing. You know, I'm reading here, Mark Scheifele was asked, you know, in the post game, about the fact they've scored only 17 goals in the last 10 games.
So there's your fact check.
Sorry, there's someone said I said 18. I gave him an extra goal. My apologies.
Yeah, you got to be 17 careful.
17 goals in the last 10 games. You know, asked for his thoughts. Scheifele, long period of silence followed by, I don't have an answer for you. So they just don't have and I understand why they don't have an answer. They are shell-shocked. They're absolutely shell-shocked. A team that was the offensive envy of a lot of this league, a team that, you know, power play wise, you give them a power play opportunity, you know, well, 1 in 5 of those opportunities, maybe 1 in 4 of those opportunities are probably going in the net. Well, guess what? Nothing's going in the net. The only net they're getting anything in right now is the netting that's above the glass that's protecting the invisible fans from getting hit in the head with a puck. That's where they're at right now. This team is not even snake bit. Snake bit to me is a cop out. Snake bit means that it's somebody else's fault that the puck's not going in. They are just not executing on the offensive side of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and here's a crazy notion. I mean, you got Christian Vesalainen. Again, don't put him into a role where he's a checker, because that's not where he's going to have success, and you're not going to have a lot of success with him. Maybe give some guys some rest. I mean, you know, maybe Dominic Toninato. Mm-hmm. Again, Dominic Toninato is not going to come in here and solve all the Jets' problems. He's a nice complimentary player. He can play some center. He can play some wing. Scored 3 goals for the Moose, playing alongside Cole Perfetti. For people asking about guys on the Moose to get called up, remember, Moose are on a road trip right now. You may want the Moose, though, because the Moose have points in 11 straight games. Moose
the opposite of the Jets.
they really are. I mean, the Moose, and they, you know what's funny? They are in so many different aspects of their game. They're a complete team. You don't see these guys take shifts off. They've dealt with injury. They've adjusted. They've adjusted to recalls, and they've got points in 11 straight games. They're 10-0-0-1 in their last 11. They just swept the Toronto Marlies in 3 games, beating Frederik Andersen. David Gustafson's looked really good. He had the winner in a shootout. He had the winner on yesterday's game. But the reality is that the Moose are on their way to went to Ottawa today, because they're playing Belleville to close out the season. 4 more games against Belleville, including the first one tomorrow night. So the reality is, guys, you're not going to see Cole Perfetti. You're not going to see David Gustafson. You're not going to see, Johnny Kovacevic's injured. You're not going to see Dylan Sandberg. Again, unless you just throw him on a plane and fly him private to Winnipeg, which I don't think you're going to see. No. You're not seeing those guys before the end of the Jets season, because the Moose season doesn't end till next Sunday, right. So you're not going to see the Moose. You're not going to see any of the guys on the Moose. Even if you want them, then you're not going to see them. So the reality, you may see them. You'll see them as black aces, but you're not going to see Gustafson. So you have to deal with the guys that you have, which is Marco Dano. Well, okay, Marco Dano's been fine, but you don't really want him in the NHL lineup. Dominic Toninato, like I said, he's got some skill. He can score, can skate. Christian Vesalainen, you know, again, there's another guy who is shooting more at the AHL level and having a little more confidence in his game. So to me, Drew, I think it's a function of, like, you know, and I thought, like, the penalty kill, like with Lewis and Thompson, like they sacrificed the body, and that's Paul Maurice's big thing, right? But at the same time, you know, tomorrow's a meaningless game, right? So why not? What have we talked about all season long? I mean, in theory, Paul Maurice took, I guess, our advice. I don't know that he listened to us, but but he actually used his taxi squad, right? I mean, today's a final example. Because, I mean, look, we never know with the coach what the extent of injuries are. So when he says Neil Pionk is 98%, yet he's not playing today, and Tucker Pullman's also, he called it a maintenance thing, and Connor Hellebuck is supposed to start tomorrow.
Which I don't fully understand why.
But you know what, though? Well, regardless, I mean, I guess you'd give him the Friday, but, like, at the same time, I like what he did with putting Comrie as the backup. I think that made a lot of sense. That was what we had suggested when we talked the last time. But at the same time, you know, get these guys in. Like, why not? Again, like, I get that you're not going to, you know, retry and recreate the wheel, and you're not going through the playoffs, but your team needs a jump. And this team, and I'm not saying they didn't have their chances, but this team just didn't have any jump. And a guy like Derek Forbort, I think, could use a rest. A guy like Nate Thompson, Trevor Lewis, maybe they need a rest. So that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that maybe, especially on a back-to-back, to give your, you know, you don't want to risk injury. You know, Matthew Perreault, you know, fell in practice yesterday, fell into the boards today, slashed someone's knee.
Very similar sort of falling into the boards in practice, you know, like we saw late in the third period today. So give him a night off. He's played basically every game all season long. Dylan DeMello, he's played every game since he missed the opening road trip when his wife gave birth. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to not give these guys some more rest when you have the opportunity to do so. I mean, you know, Ville Heinola, obviously, you know, he learned a hard lesson on that first goal. That was not a play that you can make at the NHL level. Now, I thought the rest of the game he was perfectly serviceable. I thought he was perfectly fine after that, but that's a reminder for a young player that's something that you might be able to get away with at the AHL level, you can't get away with at the NHL level, and he'll know that. You don't need to point it out to him. He knows very well that that was an error, and I mean, how often do we see veteran guys do that? Yeah. Give away the puck at the offensive blue line, and then it ends up in an odd man rush coming back or something like that. You know, that ended up with the Canucks' first goal of the game today. Whatever it is, it's just the little things for the Winnipeg Jets, the difference between winning and losing, the execution, because truly there's not a huge gap between winning and losing in the NHL. The best teams, the good teams, find a way to execute just a little bit better than their opponents. The Jets aren't executing well right now. The Jets aren't doing anything better than their opponents right now. They have two games to go in this regular season. At least mercifully, the regular season is finally coming to an end so that, you know, we can maybe get to some important games. But to what we said at the outset, Dave, there's no reason why the Jets are going to all of a sudden, there's no reason to believe, and I saw our buddy Scott Billick tweeted this as well, there's no reason to believe that they're all of a sudden going to flick that switch and be able to get back to being a team that plays, that gets goals, that gets more than, you know, 10 goals, that gets more than 17 goals in 10 games, but at the same time continues to play quality defense. I mean, there's just no evidence of it, and that's the problem for Jets fans. That's the problem for the dressing room. That's the problem for the coaching staff, is that the offense and the defense playing at their highest levels together has not happened. Certainly hasn't happened in the last 10 games.
No, and again, Drew, I mean, I don't have anything to add really in the sense that it's you know, it's funny because we've talked about this somewhat ad nauseum now, right? Since this losing has begun, this malaise, if you will, has settled in around Winnipeg, or the team, I should say, because it's rather beautiful out for us and just out and about walking around town. But
it's game in and game out. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, like,
play struggles and looks. The power play struggles and doesn't have any creativity to it. Now, maybe, and hopefully this is the case, maybe because, you know, practice is really happening without a lot of people in attendance and things of that nature, maybe they have this new power play deployment that they're just waiting to do in game one of the playoffs. You know, and if that's the case, great, because there's no point in wasting it in game 55 and game 56 at this point, because, you know, deploy it for game one of the playoffs, and there won't be any video scouting on it or anything along those lines. And maybe all of a sudden that's going to be, you know, what gets the power play going. I'd be surprised. I see no evidence that all of a sudden they're recreating the power play wheel, but I mean, it's predictable. It's slow. You know, whenever they execute the seam pass correctly and get it from, from Connor over to Scheifele or Wheeler over to Scheifele, it's not on and off his stick like it used to be with Patrick Laine. I'm not clamoring for Laine at this point in time. That ship has sailed. But I'm saying, you know, Scheifele isn't the one-time rocket that Laine was on the power play. So again, it's time to change things up. Do things a little bit differently. Try and get the power play going in a different manner. It's predictable. It's slow. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. The opposition knows it. I hope that there's a new wrinkle that's set to come once the playoffs begin, but I'll be surprised when I see it.
Well, Drew, I was going to say, I feel like Lucy and you're Charlie Brown right now, because, or maybe I guess that would make Paul Maurice Lucy and you're Charlie Brown as you're trying to kick that football.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't expect it. I really don't. I mean, hold on, but I'm going to interject on my own to say we got to agree with what Dave's saying to everyone in the chat. make sure you are smashing that like button and subscribing. You know, one of the things when we look at the analytics is a lot of the people who watch are not necessarily, we have a good amount of you that are subscribers, but it could always be more. So if you have a YouTube channel or a YouTube account, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you ring that bell for notifications. That helps with our algorithm and we always appreciate it. Anyways, Drew, I really have to tell you that I just don't see that they're going to make, you know, monumental changes. I mean, again, you could do something small. You don't have Nikolaj Ehlers right now. Maybe, you know, maybe put Pierre-Luc Dubois up on the top line. Maybe, you know, switch something up, because to your point, it's slow and it's predictable. And it's funny because the team recognizes it. What have they said consistently in the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 days of media availability? Paul Maurice has talked about it.
More pace.
Yeah. Paul Maurice has talked about it. The players have talked about it. So if everybody knows what it is that you need to do. And again, this schedule hasn't been exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-mm. So, you know, you've got time between games. This is your first back-to-back. I can't remember the last time the Jets have played a back-to-back. So it feels
Montreal,
like it's
the Ottawa-Toronto game. Wouldn't that have been it? The Toronto game where they finished that road trip and then they came home to play the 5 in a row against, and that's when the trouble started. Wouldn't that be the
because they played Edmonton when that 3-0 loss was against Edmonton.
Right, but after they played Ottawa and then they went to Toronto and they won the game in Toronto.
Yes, okay, yeah.
I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday, and that was a back-to-back. I think that was the last back-to-back.
Right.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but that, to me, jogs my memory.
Yeah, so anyway, so the point, that's a good point. And again, like I said, like I guess I was making the point, so I guess I just complimented my own good point. But so the point is, Drew, though, that you really have to just think to yourself, like, you know, what is this team going to do? What can you institute between now and the end of the season and whenever these playoffs are supposed to start? You know, it appears, I mean, I saw you tweet earlier today that you think it's going to be next Saturday when the final North Division, not this Saturday.
They already announced that this coming Saturday is when the playoffs begin.
I meant for the North though.
Oh, for the North?
No, I suspect. Yeah,
I suspect the North Division playoffs are going to start on Wednesday, May the 19th.
Sure. Okay, so there you go. So Wednesday, May 19th.
That's just my suspicion because that's the final meaningless game between Vancouver and Calgary, and now they are officially meaningless.
Yeah.
Unless the NHL comes to their senses and doesn't make Vancouver and Calgary play that three-game series Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But it seems like they're going to for whatever reason. So I would expect that you know, the final game for Calgary Vancouver in that series will be Wednesday, the afternoon, May 19th. And then the playoffs will begin for the North Division. I would expect if it's the Jets and the Oilers, you might very well see a doubleheader. The Jets and the Oilers, a 9 o'clock start on that Wednesday, May the 19th or something nice and late like that.
Well, may God have mercy on our souls for all those late night post-game shows, but we'll hopefully have all of these fine folks who are joining us in the chat. We're going to give them a shout out. We appreciate it after every single Jets game, win or lose. We appreciate everyone joining us and contributing, because the truth is, like, while we're discussing what we saw at the game, whether in attendance like I was tonight or what we watched on television, you know, the insight from all the people in the chat is extremely helpful, because there are more eyes that are seeing things that, you know, maybe we don't necessarily catch. So it's always so helpful, especially when we got guys like Jackson, who's repping IC in Atlanta. We appreciate that support.
Yeah.
And again, all the local folks who follow IC and follow us on a daily basis and come and join these chats. So anyways, like I said, I don't know what he's going to do, but it will be interesting, right? Because we're not going to have a morning skate tomorrow, because of course they played today. And even though today's morning skate was an optional, and I think there were like only 11 guys who actually skated. So the truth is, we won't know until warm up, I guess Paul Maurice will speak probably around 4:30 or 5 tomorrow. So we'll get a little insight a little bit before the game. Stay tuned to the pregame report on a little site called illegalcurve.com.
Nicely done.
Thank you. But I don't know what to expect from Paul Maurice. I mean, again, you know, you're at a point. And I get it that the players are frustrated, and they, to your point, Drew, what you said, Mark Scheifele paused and then tried, said, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, you gotta, you got to do something different because, again, and I feel like I've said this before. Well,
to your point, maybe you go to the taxi squad and you bring up a couple of the I mean, again, for all intents and purposes, tomorrow and Friday are pretty meaningless. But maybe you go to the taxi squad and that's a funny comment from Jay Smoth. I'll put it up on the screen here. With each loss, my beard gets more salt and pepper. That's true. But you know, maybe you go to the taxi squad and those guys are just so desperate and so excited to get into a game that they can go to the dirty areas, mm-hmm. and they can go in and they get a goal that, you know, is not from the outside and isn't a Harlem Globetrotter-esque goal, because that's what the Jets have been trying for whatever reason, and they haven't been successful because those plans of plays just aren't successful for the most part. You got to put the puck on the net and you got to go and you have to get to the dirty areas. And I know it's cliche and everything, but you have to go there, and that's how you're going to score goals. And that's how you're going to score goals, especially come playoff time. You're going to get pucks on the net and you're going to get, and good things are going to happen often. But if you never get the pucks on the net, and if everything's always to the outside and there's no traffic and everything is, you're trying to make a crisp bang, 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 scoring play. Mm-hmm. Often, I mean, those are so beautiful when they happen, but guess what? There's a reason why they're few and far between and we notice them. It's because they're damn hard to execute, because the other team is also pretty good to prevent those from happening.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right, Drew. And like I said, that's one of the things that this Jets team talked about doing, and talk is can be a little bit cheap, and you got to, at the end of the day, you got to figure out what your game plan is going to be. And if you have again, try and execute, because right now, whatever it is you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. it's not working. And, you know, I saw a question from Barb. Sorry, I lost it, but Barb asked, oh, there we go, Barb. Barb asked, who is on the taxi squad? So right now you've got Christian Vesalainen, you got Marco Dano, got Juuna Luoto, Dominic Toninato, and technically
Nelson Noje.
Noje is
with the Moose now. Yeah. Okay, he's been on the taxi squad all year.
He was on the taxi squad. He actually played his first game in 13 months and actually scored a goal, so which turned out to be a game winner. So that was pretty good for Nelson Noje. He's a very well respected guy in the organization. But at the end of the day, yeah, you've got Dano, Juuna Luoto, Dominic Toninato, Christian Vesalainen, who's, I think it's very weird. Like sometimes the Jets will do, like he was on an emergency recall, but they didn't actually send him back. So they don't really announce the reassignment of a guy who was on an emergency recall, but I would assume Vesalainen's back on the taxi squad. And then again,
cap friendly, he's back on the taxi squad, and Toninato will go back to the taxi squad as well.
Yeah. Well, he's on an emergency recall right now. So,
right.
Like, yeah. So he was recalled this morning with Eric Comrie. So those two were on emergency recall. So that just answers Barb's question in terms of, I guess, you know, again, people are trying to figure out, is there someone who's going to give this team a shot in the arm?
And I mean, offensively, the most talented guy on your taxi squad is obviously Christian Vesalainen. And, you know, expecting Christian Vesalainen to come in and all of a sudden be an offensive juggernaut and solve all the problems that the Jets are having offensively is not realistic. Right. But again, it allows the Jets to rest a couple guys who might need a couple games off, or at least a game off. Yeah, you know, somebody doesn't play tomorrow, that means they have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then whatever Friday looks like with that game against the, you know, what'll be the Toronto Marlies.
Just let me interject quickly. Sorry, Ty in the broker, he's asking about Nikku. Nikku's actually on the roster. So Nikku's actually been on the Jets roster the entire season because they were afraid of losing, because he would have had to clear waivers in order to be on that taxi squad. So as a result, Nikku's actually technically been on the Jets roster the entire season. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, again, give guys a break when you can give them a break at this point in time over the last two regular season games. And again, maybe when there's no pressure, other guys can come in and get something going offensively. It's at this point in time where clearly, based on the comments from Mark Scheifele, the comments from Blake Wheeler, they don't know how to score anymore. You know, psychologically, obviously, physically, they know how to score. They're just not able to do it right now. And I can't remember seeing a Winnipeg Jets team struggle like this offensively. Certainly in the 2.0 era, I can't really think of a Jets team that has gone 10 games when they've only scored 17 goals. I mean, that it's almost hard to do that. That's, you know, that would be something that the Detroit Red Wings would say that that's hard to do, or the Buffalo Sabres would say that's hard to do. So, you know, and, you know, we talked about this on the post game show on Saturday night, Dave. The Jets' success comes oftentimes, they're not a great 5-on-5 team. We know that. Their success comes from the power play and from, you know, and from unbelievable goaltending. The power play, again, everything is predictable. Nothing is, you know, nothing is hard, by which I mean hard for the opponents. Put the puck on net on the power play and crash the net hard, and you're going to probably have numbers against the opponents. Make it difficult for them to defend so many of your guys that, you know, that are in front of the goalie and making things difficult and making life miserable. Instead, it's the same boring pass down towards the goal line, and then, you know, it's not fast, so you know that the defense can come there and really try, especially, you know, you're trying to do that against Tyler Myers, and Tyler Myers is obviously overpaid and you know, should never have been handed out the contract that he was given by the Vancouver Canucks, but he's still tall, he's still got a really long stick, and he still knows how to use it very well. So if he's defending against you and you're on the power play and you're not fast, well, he's going to get that stick in there and interfere with whatever you're trying to set up pretty quickly and pretty easily. And it just continues to be slow and boring. And maybe it's as simple as put out a different unit first, put out the quote unquote second unit first, instead of the, of the first unit on the power play.
And or maybe don't play the first, or maybe have the first unit not play a minute 20 and don't have the other one, the guys come on for 40 seconds.
Yeah. Try something different. It's just, you know, it is Groundhog Day. And unless there's a wrinkle that they're just, you know, sort of keeping their powder dry until the playoffs, then I just don't understand how you continue to watch this and not say that it needs to change at all. That's the part I don't fully understand, Dave.
No, I mean, again, it's funny. I was starting to say it before. It's kind of like that definition of insanity, Drew, right? You're trying the same thing over and over and over again, and hopefully, and you're just hoping you chip away at it. Eventually the dam is going to break. Well, I mean, nothing is breaking. These teams game plan for your power play. And if you haven't adjusted your power play, why do the teams have the game plan differently? Especially if you're showing a complete lack of urgency and speed, which is what we've talked about. So you don't have urgency, you don't have speed, you have predictability. Sometimes they put Christian Vesalainen on the power play. He's actually got an excellent shot.
He's got a great shot.
And it's funny because it was always one of those things that I always envisioned was that idea of he and Laine on the power play together on opposite sides, just firing pucks. Because, I mean, Christian Vesalainen actually for... You know, he's got flaws in his game, but one of his skills is definitely his shot. He's got an excellent shot.
And to your point, what has his biggest difficulty been as a pro is getting his shot off. He's got a great shot. He's had a lot of he hasn't had much success in unleashing it at 5-on-5. And Lord knows he doesn't get any other ice time besides 5-on-5. But you know what? To your point, you know, you got two games. You got nothing to lose. Why not just put him out there and see if he can get something going by getting his shot through and unleashing a shot that'll be a surprise to a lot of people. It's just the same thing. I mean, it's a little mind numbing. It really is.
For sure, because you're thinking to yourself, is there going to be something different? Is there something you can say, okay, well, this game had a little difference, you know, okay, you got outplayed by a goaltender who was phenomenal. You know, but you had grade A opportunities and Thatcher Demko was phenomenal. And okay, that's a game that it happens. Connor Hellebuck has done that for the Jets more times than we can count. So it's entirely possible it happens against the Jets. But at the same time, you know, we talked about it. How many high danger chances do the Jets have tonight?
10-9 were the high danger chances. That's per natural stat trick.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't like, and it was like, it was low early. I think it was like 4-2 or 4-1 for the Canucks. I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about. And so, again, like I said, it was one of those games that you weren't left with the feeling, and there were opportunities, but I mean, think about it. I mean, people can say, oh, well, you know, if this would have happened, well, Mark Scheifele actually made a nice play in the second period, knocking a puck that was on the doorstep. That if he doesn't get to that is a tap in and in the back of the Jets net. So that goes both ways, right? You know, there's plays where, you know, they, who was it hit the post? Was it Besser hit the post against the Jets? It was the outside of the post, but still, I mean, there were lots of opportunities. I want one player from the Canucks I have to highlight. It's Quinn Hughes. His skating live is so much fun to watch. Like, I got to tell you, no, honestly, it's like watching Ehlers skate. Like, guys who can skate are such a pleasure to watch it live and in person. And sometimes you don't necessarily see it in the game because, I mean, obviously you can see guys who can skate well, but you know, what often, again, the camera's following the puck, not the player. And sometimes you have an opportunity to watch what a player does when he doesn't have the puck, which is, you know, just as informative, if not more so sometimes for some of these guys. And Quinn Hughes, I got to tell Vancouver Canucks fans, not that any are actually watching this broadcast, but they've got a hell of a player in that kid because he is one hell of a skater. Anyways,
He certainly is a great player, and you know that kind of skating is, you know, really that, you know, the guy who skates the best for the Jets is obviously Nikolaj Ehlers. We know that. And you know, the Jets certainly do miss Nikolaj Ehlers. Now, you know, as much as they miss him, that's not a reason for all of a sudden the offense to collapse in the manner that it has, where they've only scored 17 goals in 10 games. But, you know, getting Ehlers back come playoff time, and I do expect that he will be in the lineup game one.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an update, or not you, but because I'm sure you're aware, but he was lightly shooting and taking part in a skate today. So that's a good sign, of course, because he wasn't able to shoot previously, but now he's obviously cleared to do some light shooting, which, again, Nikolaj Ehlers, guys, again, he's not going to be sufficient to overcome the difficulties. And if he is, let me tell you, you better call his agent and be like, I want to renegotiate my contract. It should start with a 10, not with a 6. Because, again, if he can somehow come in and be the catalyst, all the power to him. I just don't know that this isn't a sport generally, with the exception of Connor McDavid, who's a super freak for a reason. Yeah. That generally doesn't happen in hockey, where you are able to do that, what he does, across the board. So again, Nikolaj Ehlers will help the power play, and he's going to help in a lot of other aspects of the Jets game that are lacking right now. But it's you know, this team needs to all be pulling in the right direction. Like I said, I mean, I don't want to be a broken record here, but it's like the Moose, you know? And again, like I said, I'm just going to reaffirm this point because I think it's important. These guys have nothing to play for. They have nothing to play for. Now, like, that's a bit of an extreme statement because, I mean, of course they want to keep playing for next year. So they're trying to earn contracts, and some of them are young prospects who want to impress the Jets brass, but they're not playing for a playoff, you know? And you're going to have, like, you know, four or five guys, depending on injury. You got Chisholm, who's done for the season. Johnny Kovacevic didn't play the last game. He got injured 2 games ago, didn't play the last game. So you've got some Jets prospects who would probably be called up as black aces who, you know, are going to keep giving it. But these guys just play as a team and they play as a unit. And there's like I said, but they, you know, 70% of them, maybe more, probably closer to 80% of them, have no reason to lay it on the line the way they do each game, blocking shots, like getting into fights, like not really physical fighting team, but just trying so hard to win. And, you know, I talk to these guys, after games, and I'll say, well, and they're like, well, we're just having fun. We love it. And Pascal Vincent will talk about it after every single game. And he'll speak to that. And he'll say, listen, like, these guys love what they do. They're hockey players, but they have a lot of pride. And like at this point, like if you're the Jets, and again, like I said, it's not as if the Canucks aren't a team that have pride and want to win. So, I mean, you can't say like everybody is going to be able to use that, Drew, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, you're a team that has as much firepower as you have. And you guys, to your point, Drew, 17 goals in 10 games. How is a team that has all of these guys who can light the lamp incapable of scoring?
And even if they can't score at 5-on-5, and we've seen this team struggle at 5-on-5 previously, not for this stretch of time, but for two, three, four games, your fallback, your saving grace was always your power play, your allegedly top five power play in the league, and it was a top five power play for a long time this season. It's been absolutely AWOL as well. So when your 5-on-5 offense is never that great to write home about to begin with, and then your power play goes completely AWOL, I mean, it hasn't been on the defensive side of things. Look, they gave up 3 tonight. Okay, maybe you don't want to give up 3, but, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter if you only score 1. If you can't score more than 1 or 1.7 on average in the last 10 games, right. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, unless you give up zero or one, it doesn't, you know, if you can't score two, it doesn't matter. And this Jets team right now is hard pressed tooth and nail just to score, you know, just to score two. It hasn't happened the last two games. Look, one goal against Ottawa, one goal against Vancouver. You would not say either team is known for being a defensive juggernaut, and the Jets are just completely devoid of answers. And that's the problem. When the players don't have the answers and the coaching staff doesn't have the answers, where do the answers come from? And maybe the answers come from, as we were saying earlier on the broadcast, Dave, maybe they come from sort of just allowing, you know, taking advantage of the rest opportunity that's in front of you, putting some guys out on the ice who are just, you know, the proverbial just happy to be there, and they'll go and do the dirty things that, and maybe be a shining example for everybody else that has struggled as of late.
And Drew, think about it like this. Maybe it gets some guys' asses in gear. You know what I mean? Maybe guys see the effort. And you know, the one thing we've heard, and I've spoken to players coming off the taxi squad, is just how good they feel having played on that taxi squad. They, like, again, you know, one of the concerns I had, especially with prospects, was them languishing on that taxi squad and not playing games. And now what we're, you know, like I said, I talked to Nelson Noje, talked to Dominic Tanato after Moose games, not, you know, sidebar conversations. But the point is that, like, when I spoke to them, I say, like, you know, what was it like? And they said to a man that being in the taxi squad has been beneficial. They've been able to stay sharp. They felt that, you know, obviously it's not a game, but they've, you know, the coaching staff that's worked with them has been very focused, and these guys have been focused. You know, someone, just to quickly answer, someone asked me about Nathan Todd. Nathan Todd's he's the Moose leading scorer. He's having a phenomenal season. I mean, he had 1 point in his previous 27 AHL games before this season, and now he has, I think, 29 and 32 for the Manitoba Moose. So he's been an unbelievable story, but people need to realize, like, he's on an AHL deal, and he's not a guy you're going to be relying on at the NHL deal. Hell of a story, remarkable. Yeah. But again, you know, next guy up for the Jets, which, like I said, will be as a black ace, would be like a Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, maybe Christian Reichel, who's on an NHL deal with the Jets, and again, like I said, depending on health, a few of the other guys. But again, like I said, I could go back to that taxi squad and see a guy like Vesalainen or Toninato. Like, a guy like Toninato played 3 games in the bubble last year for Florida, for the Panthers. Here's a guy who has some ability, just has some confidence, scored 3 goals in his last 2 games for Manitoba. Maybe get him in the lineup. Maybe get him to, you know, like I said,
even as a reward, just as a reward for spending the season.
True, not even as a reward. Like, maybe as a Matthew Perreault went heavy into the boards twice in the last two days. Right. Maybe Matthew Perreault isn't fresh. Like, again, like I said, we're seeing guys that just don't, like Nate Thompson, Derek Forbes. I mean, again, like I said, I've been saying this till I've been blue in the face. Why in these last 2 games? I don't care that these guys aren't going to play again till Wednesday. They've all had long layoffs and everybody's been able to deal with it. So the reality is,
it doesn't make any sense.
Wouldn't you rather them be fresh? And again, Paul Maurice was forced to do it today, right? He was forced. He didn't have an option because of the, well, he called it maintenance. But the reality is, so that kind of forced his hand.
Right. So if you go with a fourth line on tomorrow, if your fourth line, if you give Thompson and Lewis the night off tomorrow, and you go with, or you give, and you give Perreault a night off or whatever it might be, whatever combination you want to figure out, and you go with a fourth line of Toninato and Harkins and Vesalainen, you know,
hey, maybe you might score.
Why not?
Here's a crazy notion. You might actually start scoring some goals.
Why not?
Like Trevor Lewis, I don't want to ignore, I want to, you know, besmirch him because he's a shorthanded goal specialist, but
yeah.
At the same time, you know, an injection of some fresh legs. I don't know. I just don't see why it's going to kill your team. And again, maybe it embarrasses the rest of the team. Maybe they see these guys hungry for opportunity and doing something with the time they're allotted, and maybe get some other teams guys going. So, again, you could say that the Jets got goalie tonight. Demko was good, but I didn't think the shots were.
They didn't get goalied. They didn't get goalied.
I mean, again, Demko
was good. He was good. But the Jets didn't get goalied because, you know, you can't get goalied when you give up the first 2 goals of the game, you know, and it's 2-0 7 minutes into the game. That's not how you get goalied. You get goalied when you lose 1-0 and you put up 40 shots. So, I mean, that's the reality of the situation is good teams, real good teams, don't go down 2-0 to a Vancouver team like this and then not come back. That's the problem. And then only get one goal for the remainder of the game. You know, that's the reality of it. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll try and bring in Paul Maurice, get his post-game comments. Much more to come. You're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's the IC post-game show live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see LindenMarketDental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Monday night, 25 minutes after 10 o'clock in the evening with Dave Manuka. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We welcome you back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Reminder, tomorrow night, we'll do it all over again, except Mr. Ginsburg will join us, assuming he's feeling up to the task after he got...
Don't be so sure, Drew.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to feel fine tomorrow. He's taking the night off. He went and got his
vaccination.
He's
strong like bull, so he should.
I think he needs just a solid 6 meals or something tomorrow, and he'll be back up to speed. Mr. Ginsburg, we are very happy, of course, that he went and was able to avail himself of the COVID vaccine, so that's good for him. That means all of us at Illegal Curve are now at least one shot vaccinated, so that's an exciting milestone for us, right?
That's true.
Something like that. Jets head coach Paul Maurice, we're going to get his audio, his video.
I'm working on it as we speak.
I know Dave is working on it.
Trying to be multifaceted here, people.
Look at that. Look at the multitasking we make you do night in and night out.
It's unbelievable.
That's right. Hit the like button the same way Drew hits the Bernstein's Deli sandwich. That's right, videos of Reddit. Very smart. That's what we like to hear about that. In any event, the Jets defeated tonight by the Vancouver Canucks 3-1. 9 losses out of their last 10 games played, 17 goals scored in total in their last 10 games. You don't have to be a math expert to know that that's nothing to write home about and that the offense for the Winnipeg Jets continues to struggle. The defense certainly was a different look for the defense today with no Tucker Poolman and no Neil Pionk. We touched on the Ville Heinola giveaway that led to the Canucks' first goal of the game, and that's just a mistake. And he'll learn from that, and he'll. Yeah. I assume that as soon as he did it, he realized you just can't do that at the NHL level. You don't make drop passes, at the blue line, in that instance, and not expect it to go back up the ice and be a dangerous chance against. But other than that, I thought he was noticeable for the most part for good reasons. Josh Morrissey obviously had the bad luck on the 3-1 goal, just trying to make a defensive play. And, you know, the way it's been bouncing for the Jets lately, that just deflects right in past Lauren Persois. Right. Logan Stanley, look, again, noticeable, active, energized, jumping into the play, trying mm-hmm. to get shots through. He's you know, Logan Stanley to me is still a player that should be in the lineup tomorrow. And, you know, I don't know, Derek Forbort, definitely still, as we've talked about for, I think it's been like 3 weeks now, desperate in need of a couple games off just to get some energy back in his legs. He just looks and continues to look very tired. And that's to be expected for a guy who's played every game this season after only playing, what, 8 games last year before Jets, that's funny, Ty, before the bubble for the Flames. So again, you got to give some of these guys the night off tomorrow, maybe even Friday as well. But for the most part, I thought the defense was okay tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, like I said, the one thing I sometimes try and reiterate or reinforce when guys make plays like what we saw with Villanueva is whenever you want a guy like Dylan Sandberg in the lineup, you have to understand those kind of plays. And again, I'm not saying something you don't know, but I'm just going to reaffirm the point. When those plays happen with the Manitoba Moose, Pascal Vincent puts him back out there.
Right.
And there's no harm, no foul. I mean, obviously there is, but the point is he uses it as a teaching moment. And it's a lot less of a pressure situation for these guys to make a mistake. And again, like I said, I've gone, when people, every person who's saying, bring up Dylan Sandberg, I've watched every Dylan Sandberg game this season. And I think the kid is going to be a very good, you know, hockey player for this Jets team eventually. But the point is, again, he makes mistakes. His first season as a pro, right? That's going to happen. But what ends up happening is the coach will speak to him on the bench, and it's about his adjustment, and he learns, and that can happen at the AHL level. So I'm just saying, like, the things that you have, it's less ideal. It gets more. Every single person mentioned now saw that mistake by Villanueva. Every single person is talking about that mistake. I'm just saying it adds a lot of pressure to young players at that idea. I mean, again, the idea that Villanueva is on a short leash shouldn't be on a short leash. You know, you're entrusting him to be leading your second power play for a moment, by the way, in the game. I didn't realize how much time was left. I saw Derek Forbort was there as one of the power plays was ending, but I didn't realize how much time was on the clock. And I thought, my eyes went like wide, and then I was like, Derek Forbort is in the power play. I mean, we were all for mixing things up, but that's straight lunacy. But of course it was because the power play was coming to an end for the Jets, but
that's okay.
Again, like I said, I didn't think that it was necessarily the Jets defense. Like, I mean, the Canucks played well. They outchanced the Jets, you know, throughout at certain points in the game where you thought the Jets were going to push back. Mm-hmm. And again, it was one of those games where I wasn't certain, right? Like I said to you, the last post game, Drew, this Jets team has always felt like they could be a team that can push back and get back into a game, even those ones that they're losing. But right now they just don't have that. And that, and again, it all comes down to
that requires goal scoring.
And I was just going to say, that's what it all comes down to, goal scoring, and you're not scoring goals. And again, if you don't score, I don't care how good defensively you are. I don't care how good your goaltending is. You can't win a hockey game without outscoring the opposition.
You're absolutely right. Let's hear from Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice. You're watching, you're chatting, you're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
But how does the feel of this one compare to Saturday's?
Well, we generated a whole heck of a lot more. The offensive part of our game at least looked right until the goalie stopped the puck. So that, you know, we played some games where I didn't think we generated nearly as much as we had hoped to, but tonight we seem to have gotten that part bad, better traffic at the net. But then we had some pretty good looks. I made 3 or 4 really good saves on something through the seam. So there's a starting point there. The first phase for guys who feel like they should score goals is to get a chance. And you know, Kyle got in alone almost in the exact, you know, very close to the exact same idea last game, and it didn't happen for him, and tonight it did. And a lot of times those guys, that's what they need. He had a bunch of other good looks in the game. So hopefully that's a starting point, get some good feeling with the puck around their net.
We'll go next to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weber.
all obviously mistakes are going to happen, but what do you think of the way that Heinola responded after making the early mistake?
It was fine. You know, like he playing his offside's a challenge, right? For any defenseman, he's done it before, but it's not comfortable. And, you know, the second goal, just that turn to that side is different than the turn to the other side. So, yeah, Billy's fine. He's a good, good young player that's going to keep getting better as he gets more experience and more time in the game.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
All that tweak that you did to the second and third lines, how did you feel it paid off?
Well, I liked what they produced. I thought that Stas looked like he had a few good cracks at it, and I liked the way that line moved the puck a little bit. We're fine. We're looking for more. We're looking for not for, for those two lines to generate a little bit more, but a good start.
We'll go next to Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, you talked about Heinola already. What about Logan Stanley? I thought there was times where he, I thought he really played well tonight. At times he afforded himself, you know, stepping up, and the gap was good. And some shots on net. There's some. You talk about additions. How did he make out tonight?
Well, I thought he was really good. I liked his last game too. He had the turnover at the end, and that's kind of what you're left leaving the rink. But the body of the work of his game, the physicality in his game. He can make plays and he can move the puck. He made a great seam pass there in the third period up to the far blue, right hard on the tape. So I've liked where he's headed.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Paul, just getting a night ahead of myself here. I'm not sure if we're going to get to you in the morning tomorrow, but with Paul Stastny's 1,000th game tomorrow and you guys maybe looking for some things to generate some good vibes and feelings, how can that tomorrow maybe play into to doing that?
Yeah, I mean, reminder of experience. A guy who's been in the league this long's been through all of it and been such a good player for us. It'd be nice for the players get to celebrate something here in the second last game. It'll be good.
We'll go back to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Just in sticking with Stastny, Paul, what stands out when you think about him and his body of work?
Experience more than, I mean, he's just, maybe that's not the right word. He's just a hockey man. You know, if you want to talk hockey to a guy, you go talk to Paul Stastny, and he's got great experience, great view of the game, great love of the game, you know, that his entire life, right, would have been in some ways in the NHL. His dad's a player there. He's around the NHL room and he spent his entire, you know, life as a really important player on every team that he's played. He's a great encyclopedia of the game. What's happening now, what it was like 10, 20 years ago. It's good. If you like talking hockey, Stas, a great guy to have a coffee with.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. Paul, Blake talked a little bit. He wasn't making an excuse, but he says it's difficult right now to manufacture emotion right now. There's no fans and that sort of thing. How difficult is that for you to kind of coach, or do you have to, or is that something you leave up to the players to do instead?
I mean, we talk about it. We know that we are responsible for our own emotional level. Hockey's a very difficult game to play fight, right? It's all or nothing in that game. You know, tonight, you get a great chance to score on the power play early. If you filled the building and the crowd went nuts, you'd feel something good. You'd feel it coming. Now you're left with, you know, you're cheerleading on the bench. Keep going. It's right there. It's right there for you. So, I mean, look, and every team has to go through it. We're all playing in front of, well, most of us are playing in front of empty buildings. You're in the playoffs. You're struggling a little bit. So you're not getting that positive feedback short of a goal, right? It's just another missed shot instead of the crowd giving you a good cheer for a great play. And no anticipation almost builds in the building when you got it going. We had some really good offensive zone shifts, real good offensive zone time. And by that time, usually the crowd's heavily involved in it, and it drives you. I mean, the crowd is a big part of the emotional level that hockey players can get to. I mean, you just think of what it's like, you know, in the playoffs in this building, right? I mean, you don't need for your team to be jacked up. It's there. Yeah, I mean, we've said all year it's nothing to do with our play of late, but boy, we miss the fans. That's for sure.
And final question to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, on.
Well, I'm not sure if you said it, but I know a number of the players earlier when this skid started said, you know, at least this is happening now. This adversity is happening now, not later. Well, it's later. What kind of pressure does this season starting to close down create?
You know, the things that I was worried about at the start of the year are still the things that I'm worried about now, but I'm not more worried about it. I we'll get some players back and our lineup will look quite a bit different. And in 10 days, you know, we're going to play another playoff team and it'll be hard fought getting to grind right now and have to manufacture offense because it's not easy. Well, that's what playoff hockey is. So we're just going through it a little earlier than everybody else.
There he goes, Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice addressing the media after tonight's 3-1 defeat to the Vancouver Canucks. They're back in action again tomorrow. The same two teams, the second half of a back-to-back, which allows me to remind you that the Illegal Curve postgame show will be back at it tomorrow night as well.
If you missed us, we'll be back soon.
In about a little less than 24 hours, probably about 23 hours, we'll be back right around 9:30 or so tomorrow night with the Illegal Curve post-game show again. Come back here, same spot to our YouTube channel. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Be sure to subscribe to us. That's the important part. That way you'll get a notification each and every time we go live. And, of course, give us a thumbs up and smash the like button and all that good stuff. We appreciate all the love and support we get from so many of you each and every time we go live. Live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Final thought to you, Mr. Manouk, before we send everybody to our buddies Kenny and Rennie, if you want some more post-game talk conversation.
Well, I hope they do because, you know, Ken and Ren are going to be rolling along probably for at least another hour. And, you know, it's a 2 to 3 hour post-game extravaganza between the Illegal Curve post-game show and the Kenny and Rennie show. Want to give a big recognition for Drew's new fancy IC decal behind him.
There you go.
I don't know if it's as smoking hot as my fire, which will not be there tomorrow because I'll stay at the Jets game for the full three periods. God have mercy on my soul, but I'll stay there because Ezzy will be at available hopefully. And then it won't matter if I'm a little more muffled wearing my face mask and all that other stuff. But I'm very curious to see what happens with this Jets team and how Paul Maurice configures his lineup tomorrow. You know, Mike McIntyre was trying to get some insight there in his questions about the lineup because, you know, again, we won't really necessarily speak to Paul Maurice till later. But again, like to me, it's a function of like, you have an opportunity. Now you haven't availed yourself of the opportunity to use the taxi squad until tonight, until it was necessitated. Right. And that's again, we're Monday morning quarterbacks, and that's kind of the ability is we get to sit back and say, well, this would be a lot better if you did this. Although, again, giving Connor Hellebuyck the night off, I think was the right decision. I think it rewards Eric Comrie. We should mention Eric Comrie was the professional Bill hockey Mastic writers.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. The professional hockey
nominee
writers
for Winnipeg.
Association of Winnipeg nominated Eric Comrie. I can not think of a more deserving player to be the nominee for the Bill Masterton award. We have his availability on illegalcurve.com if folks want to listen to him. Eric's an inspiring young man, and we posted that. We've also got a link to Daniel Fink's article. Dan's the Manitoba Moose play-by-play voice. He just did a real extensive article on Eric Comrie and what he's meant to that organization after he won the after he became the all-time wins leader for the Manitoba Moose. And you know, maybe a little contribution from yours truly. You'll see a little quote from me in that article as well. So maybe I'm plugging myself. And that's about it. I think, yeah, like I said, go to illegalcurve.com. We're going to have all the post game. Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Kyle Connor, Paul Maurice, which a lot of you just saw. And the last thing I would suggest is you smash that like button and let us know what you think. Remember, review us and rate us. That Drew is right. If you can do that on iTunes, that's a big help as well. We really appreciate it helps get the podcast going and a lot of recognition. It's already pretty good.
We don't really know how any of these algorithms work, We know that we have to tell you what you have to do to help us with the algorithm.
Right. That's right.
Beyond our brain power.
We actually just like using the word algorithm. Ezzy's dad is probably the only one who's capable of actually understanding an algorithm. But anyways, so if you can do that for us, we really appreciate it. Why doesn't Drew get to access?
To answer that question, as you see it on the screen, we have full access to the post-game pressers.
We're
doing here instead. We're here with you folks instead.
Now, so
that prevents us from being in two places at once. But
just so people know, though, I mean, when we weren't doing our post-game show,
yes,
either you or I would be on there. And I mean, Drew asked questions more often than I do. But there's no question we ask questions if we're capable of asking questions, but because we're now doing the post-game show,
yes,
we really focus our energy and time on this, and we can just grab the availability from the Jets afterwards. So that's the reason why we're not on that availability, if for those who are wondering.
There you go. And on that note, we'll end it there for this Monday evening. We'll be right back at it, as we said, tomorrow, 23 hours from now. Join us here, 9:30, give or take a couple minutes, for the post-game show. We'll have coverage of the entire game, of course, on our Twitter feed, at Illegal Curve. That's where we're live tweeting throughout the game. And our website, illegalcurve.com. We'll have all the latest starting tomorrow morning, bright and early, 7 a.m., with the morning papers, and then throughout the day with any new Winnipeg Jets news.
And the Moose are playing.
We'll have a Moose preview up tomorrow or whatever. And
I'll be doing double duty, Moose and Jets. Moose and
Dave
Jets.
Dave Minuk will be a busy man tomorrow. We'll see everybody tomorrow night for the Illegal Curve post-game show. Big thank you to our sponsors, of course. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Dave Minuk is the man with the fireplace. I'm Drew Mandel. I'm the man with the banner behind me. Thanks so much for everybody. If you want to keep the post-game talk going, Kenny and Rennie are live on their YouTube page right now. You can go check that out. But until tomorrow night, right around 9:30 or so, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.